And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, hey, from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. I just found my Bluetooth. It was in this shirt pocket. I've been looking for this thing for 3 days, and I just happened to, oh, there it is. Okay, tells you how much I wash my shirts. All right, now this is one thing that I want to make sure we get into today. We had a rerun yesterday. We're working on the Aquadome. We'll have some pictures up and show you what we're doing over here. Had the aquaponic guys, two different companies coming out there looking at, you know, what they're going to do and put together and make go work. We got today, right after the show, the biogeneration of diesel, and it's going to be through the algae that we're using on the for the fish in the Aquadome. They're going to have their own little generation thing going off to the side making biodiesel. So it'll be over today. We had them in the studio a couple weeks ago, and we got the dome up and doing all the measurements and everything. It's very cool. And what I see the future is all the stuff that's going on with Kokesh, all the things that's happening with Cody Wilson on 3D printing, everything that's going on. I go, what is your answer? What do? Grow food. You know, there was a TED Talk, a guy, he goes like this. He said, growing food is like printing money. And in front of his home, he has, you have to have responsibility for the little strip between the sidewalk and the street and the city. You got to, mow this and do that. Okay, fine, I'll plant. And then they came out and they go, no, you can't. Somebody complained. You got to tear up your gardens and so on. And you got all political and everything. I'm just so, wow. This is wow. I can see you want to have an impact on them. Wow. One of the other things is manufacturing. A revolution means a revolution. That was one of the comments made by Cody Wilson. The way it was done in a video and promotion of what he was doing, I could just see, man, he understands what's going on. Now, here is someone, a law student in Austin, but, more than that, he's a student of Austrian economics, freedom-oriented issues, freedom good, government not, okay? So this is, going into this, he had the right mindset. The first picture that I saw when they're announcing the 3D printing of gun parts and so on was him holding up, I think it was like an AK-47 in one hand and Bastiat's the Law in the other. And I'm going, oh, bad guys are toast. They're toast. They don't even know it. They're toast. But that doesn't mean they don't have tools and they're going to come after you. They just, they only understand one thing, violence and threats of violence. Well, they're threatening violence on Cody Wilson. Welcome, Cody. It's good to have you back.
It's a pleasure, man. I always love coming on.
Okay. Tell me this. Most recently, they've come out. I mean, I talked to you, a couple weeks ago, and like the day after, all of a sudden, here comes the Pentagon. The Pentagon. You the man. Okay. Here comes the Pentagon, State Department, Palmer, everybody and their grandma saying, oh, no. I was kind of shocked it took them this long anyway, but there's somebody up somewhere saying, go get Cody. Tell us exactly what happened.
Our contact in the State Department said that the order came from the White House to shut down what we were doing. The order went out to the Department of State and Department of Justice to do anything and everything. And the theory they came up with was violations of arms export control, a set of regulations that govern what you can give away to people and who you give away to. You know?
Now, were you aware of this law? I think you were. You thought you were in compliance. Tell me the argument.
Yeah, actually, we reviewed the law like in December and in January when we started deathcad.org. And, you know, I didn't have a lawyer look at it, which, you know, is my mistake. But when I read it, I was like, oh, no, we're fine. We're a nonprofit group. We're publishing in the public domain. Everything's fine. We don't need export license or whatever. I thought it was much more realistic the ATF would be, you know, kicking in my door. So I spent the remaining months really trying to be in compliance with how to make this firearm legally.
Well, you did get your license, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we got all the licenses. I mean, everything I thought we needed, we got. And, I mean, you could say, well, even if you got some kind of ITAR-compliant license, they would have still found some excuse to stop your operation.
Yep.
I think that's probably true. I don't think it's a good excuse to not try to follow the law. But, I mean, our operation, I think, was not stopped earlier because we really were trying to go through every single hurdle that they threw at us.
Well, I remember early on us having this conversation, and it goes like this. I'm like, one, don't ever think some piece of paper is going to protect you. And two, a lot of times that opens you up for all kinds of stuff to begin with, you know? And
yeah.
I guess what the lesson is here is it doesn't matter what piece of paper you get. They're going to get you for whatever because they want to get you.
Well, I think that's largely true. The element of this project that ended up getting us in trouble and will probably keep me in trouble for a long time is the internet element. And it turns out that, like, I could make the printed gun and I could even give you, let's say, the files. But I can't put them online, apparently, because this particular piece of regulation says the internet is not the public domain. And I just find that insane.
Well, what is it?
Well, exactly. It's something that they preserve this for themselves, to keep themselves a large corner of power, you know, a large swath of power. They can control any information that might be shared online.
So are they saying it's Department of Defense? Are they saying it belongs to the government? Or are they saying taxpayers didn't really fund it? Or I mean, what are they saying?
No. They're saying that this is technical data that you have shared with foreigners, and it's related to Class 1 munitions, and therefore it's in the national security interest that we prohibit foreigners from having this information. I mean, basically, they're saying this violates national security laws and you're endangering.
Of course it does.
Security.
You know, it's a Phil Zimmerman thing all over again.
It's ITAR, it's the same law.
Okay, go ahead and tell the Phil Zimmerman story. Save me from having to.
Yeah, that's fine. As I remember it, Phil Zimmerman was an MIT student and he had worked in cryptography, which is like the study of using code to build strong passwords. And anyway, he had stumbled upon or created what is called PGP, pretty good privacy, an encryption scheme that basically was very difficult at the time for the government to crack and was considered munitions grade encryption. Because basically, if you use that encryption scheme, it would take the government a lifetime to crack it, basically more than a lifetime, you know, centuries with current computing techniques. Anyway, he released the scheme publicly. And the same thing happened. They said, well, no, this is on the United States munitions list. This violates our national security interests. We don't want foreigners having this. Now our FBI and CIA trackings of all international affairs will go dark. And they started a criminal investigation on Mr. Zimmerman that lasted 3 years until they finally just, it fizzled because I think popular support was with Mr. Zimmerman.
Yeah, because it was just stupid. You know, or like, it's stupid. It went all over different bulletin boards. And so it's this public and private key, and it had two uses. One, when I sent something out with my private key, only my public key would decrypt it, which meant that you knew it was from me. And that was one thing that happened in the mid-90s. There was a prominent Second Amendment guy that was a son of whatever did with, doesn't matter. And there was a influential emails that would go out behind the scenes stuff that was going on, and they tried to discredit him by in his name putting a bunch of stuff out there. Well, if he put in his private key and he would put it out there, it could only be decrypted with his public key, which everybody knew, so they knew it was him that wrote it and not somebody else. So by doing it that way, they're like, damn it, man, we can't, you know, kind of, you know, salt the mine with whatever they wanted and say it was him. So, and in reverse, I can send a private message to someone with the public key, and only the private key will decrypt it. This was why Janet Reno and Clinton and Napolitano and them came after you for Clipper Chip. We got to have every fax, every printer logged.
You can connect with the Liberty Radio Network via our Facebook page at facebook.lrn.fm. That's facebook.lrn.fm.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
And there's a lot of freedom where we're going. I don't know where you're going, but, you know, man, they don't want you to go. I can tell you that right now. You're not allowed. You're so not allowed. You're not allowed. I'm like, okay. Well, they had that conversation with Cody. You know what they've done is they have invited him to participate in the process of determining his guilty, 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 guilt. Okay, so I'm, you know, Cody, help me out here. What have they invited you to participate in?
Well, I've been asked by the State Department to submit some requests to them for them to review a list of files that they sent to me, files that we've been hosting at Def Cat, and a lot of these are models from across the internet, and they're basically asking me to ask them for permission to determine if they have the authority to regulate these. It's a kind of play that we're going to play right now, and when they do decide that they have the authority to regulate these, they'll say, well, you know, this was actually something that was ITAR controlled, and you were hosting it, and so therefore, penalty XYZ, you know, do not pass go, and please proceed to federal court.
Okay, now see, I can see this already. They need you to participate in the process. This is a Hank Reardon thing, man. They're going to go, we need you to ask us so you can stipulate and help us determine that you need to ask us because you asked us. And we say no.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's exactly what's going on. And so it's, you know, it's ironic. In the end, you become the author of your own destruction because they're waiting on you to give them all the facts that they need to kind of...
You got an attorney?
Oh, yeah, I do. I actually have a pretty competent legal team right now. I'm grateful for their participation. This is a pretty high-profile news story a couple weeks ago. So all the relevant attorneys immediately like volunteered their support.
Yeah, all I wanted to know is that you were safe. You know, I mean, I'm like, you know, we need to have this battle. I don't want the story to be, where's Cody, you know? So
I appreciate that. I really don't know. I'm still kind of holding my breath. I mean, it's not obvious to me that this has to go all the way to the mat in federal court and everything.
Yeah, it does.
Well, it's probably, yeah, if it's politically motivated, which I think it is, then yeah, they're going to try to get blood out of this. But it's possible that we can make them see the fact that, like, look, organizations like this are going to keep existing. There's going to be sites hosting files like this. You know, you'd rather...
They are not even about stopping it. They're about trying to slow it down.
Yeah.
This is right. And they're going to do any and everything they can, even to slow it down, to discourage the next Cody. You know, this is... See, you came at this... There's always a Neo, okay? There's always, out of billions of people, there's always the one. And that one, they didn't, you know, they may have seen something like this coming, even the 3D printing, but what they can't see is that Cody is an anarchist, okay? Or certainly a libertarian. And certainly, you know, understands from a fundamental level that, you know, freedom good and government not so. So I'm going, that is what really hurt them. If it was a good little statist and we want to, you know, because and making a point or something like that, you know, it'd been totally different outcome. They are not attacking your gun files as much as they're attacking the philosophy behind providing them.
Yeah, I think that's probably true, the harassment of an ideology. And you're right, we used it the exact other way, too, right? I used every one of these opportunities as a chance to evangelize for my ideology.
Yeah, but they didn't anticipate that. They can't. You know, you know, I remember in The Matrix, at least the second, if not the third one, where it goes, the architect, you know, the Matrix, the machine, the software that, you know, controlled the Matrix. She goes, he doesn't understand. You know, he can't. The Oracle woman, she's going, he can't understand them. He can't understand. He doesn't know how. He's trying to balance the equation. He's just trying to, you know, maintain control. He's trying to get it all balanced out. And what are you trying to do? Unbalance it. Okay. Well, you're the unbalancer. You know, and in favor, you know, of it not being just so balanced with the state, it goes back to the individual. And their idea, their center, you know, of gravity is way over towards the authoritarian side. Yours is way over towards the individual side. And their entire goal, it's not about the file. They don't give a crap about your plastic gun. That's not the point. It's the ideology behind it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, to actually break down what's happening here, I mean, these are ridiculous plastic models in a sense. And I'll be the first to admit what we were doing was pretty impractical, but I think it was a beautiful vision, you know, of a picture of the future.
Dangerous vision of the future. This idea of just, see, this is why I, in our private conversations, my big emphasis with Cody is this. It's not about the guns. It's about the manufacturing of any and everything you ever freaking some 12-year-old puts up on his CAD thing on, you know, online. I get to, you know, print out my own little part for my whiz-bang phone, my broken washing machine, my, you know, knob for my car dashboard de la vent. And this is, they. You think you got enemies now, man. You just wait till that becomes ubiquitous. And they just go, damn it, you know, and somebody led the way. And what got all the attention? A freaking gun part. I mean, I'm like, wow. You know, we have, you go Safe Mag, S-A-F-E Mag, Safe Mag. You know, 30-round AR-15, 30-round magazine. You can print, you can download it from Freedom's Phoenix. I don't even need DefCat. You know, I got, you know, Cody did the file for me with the Safe logo on it. You could have it printed out as Safe right on your magazine. Now, they gonna come after me? I'm lucky. I need Cody attention, you know, but I just assume not, you know, I don't care, you know, but what about AR-15 30 round mags? Are those allowed to be on your site?
It's unclear. And I hate the fact that this whole thing makes us question that. It seems to me that those designs are largely in the public domain, and it's instructive that they didn't mention low receivers and magazines. I think they're probably safe to host. But certainly not the plastic pistol, you know.
Oh, man. Is there anything you could have done differently?
I'm not sure. Kind of like catching up on the law now since I've been talking to the lawyers. It seems actually like the deck is very stacked against you when it comes to sharing things like this online. I'm not sure that there would have been a way to do this. And in a sense, it was lucky that it happened this way. Because I don't know. Yeah, I don't think there's a way to share this online without a massive system of licenses and background checks and stuff.
Wow. I'm ones and zeros, man. They're so antiquated. Government is so last millennia. I mean,
oh, man.
It's just so
ITAR stuff. I get some of the arguments about, well, we want to control munitions. Okay, fine. I get why the state might want to try to do that. But the ITAR talks about the public domain, and it considers the public domain to be things like a bookstore or a newspaper stand or a conference, you know, but it doesn't include the internet. I mean, it's so anachronistic. It's just, they rely on these old dead letter law from, you know, 20, 30 years ago, and they resist all possible changes in actual realities, you know.
I'm wondering what's going to happen. We're coming up on the break. I want to make this one point. I wonder what's going to happen when we bypass their internet. When you get to where it's Spaceship One, Government Zero, and you're out there putting up your own satellites. Richard Branson's buying up all these bankrupt communication satellites. You got Moonbase Alpha, De La Server, whatever the heck, and a couple of satellites. And you do direct communication via satellite without Department of Defense internet. Then what? Then what? Then freaking what? I don't know, but they'll claim what. I guarantee it.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Independence with me and Cody Wilson. And you don't need us to do it. You don't even need to do it with us. Yeah, you're welcome to, but you can do it all by yourself. I declare my independence. See how easy it was? No government forms. They go, no. There was a form. It's got to be recognized, got to do it, and kind of somebody else and says and permission slip. You know, and I'm going, wow. You know, it's the attitude that they're against, the concept of you own yourself kind of thing. And I'm really, a lot of people don't understand why I'm really emphasizing this food thing, because I can see what it is. You control the food, you control the people. And, you know, and that goes true for a lot of things like, you know, air and water and stuff, you know. But I can see that this is a much deeper battle than people realize. We are considered livestock. And the fences and pens are borders of countries and states and towns and whatever. And I'm going, you know, these walls, as libertarians scream and about, you know, walls are not only keeping people out, keep people in. They're starting to, that might just be exactly what's going on. So I'm any kind of breakout from individuals to be able to communicate, certainly directly mind to mind, and packets of information that provide them with physical stuff, that is, oh, hell no. That is like, we were sitting here talking this weekend. I made a note. There is a mechanism by which you could, let's say I put my arm into a 3D printer. I just put my arm in there. Instead of having a static head that's at the top that goes back and forth and creates a 3D thing, what if it spun and kept pointing around my wrist and it just printed around my arm? What if it did it around my body? What if I was Batman as I, you know, slid down the pole? Or it's kind of like Iron Man. He has all the pieces put on him. You have all the pieces printed directly on you. You got like a chainmail kind of outfit. You get on, boom, that's how you get dressed. That's how you get to be a superhero. You know, what about that? Oh, what, you think I'm kidding? You know, let's ask Cody. You know, you ever thought of something like that, man?
I mean, I know what you're saying. Yeah, I've seen all kinds of interesting three-dimensional, you know, apparatuses that can print on different surfaces. Doesn't seem outside the realm of possibility. Our imaginations are guiding these technologies, no question.
And these guys, they don't even have the imagination. They just want you to ask permission for that which is not required is forbidden. And you have to ask permission to do anything, because that is the mind. I saw it during the Lovolution, during 07, 08, when Dr. Paul was running for the presidency. I go to these meetup groups, and you had the young people in the corner. I just go, look, who are the sign makers? Raise my hand. I go, who are the sign makers? They're like, you're not making signs? That's why I came. I thought you were making signs. I saw on YouTube they were making signs. You're not making signs. So I go, don't worry about it. We'll be over there tomorrow. We'll make all kinds of signs. But the older people, their mindset was, hey, you can't put those signs. A lot of people are putting them on Chainlink everywhere. Where are you going to get your permission slip? Right. And I'm going, I need a permission slip from the man to give a finger to the man. I'm going, it's the attitude, and that's what you represent. You represent not getting a permission slip, and this entire thing is going to be about, you got to get a permission slip. And I'm going, okay. So this is what your lawyers say, the likelihood of you going, oh, I don't need a permission slip. They go, okay, you don't need one. Sorry to have bothered you. That ain't going to happen, you know. But
No, so that's not going to happen.
Is there any part of the law that's on your side you think you might prevail legally?
Yeah, it's possible. But mostly I think these things will be determined to be ITAR controlled, and they'll say, like, well, you couldn't have done this, and I'll have to pay some kind of penalty. It'll probably be prohibitively expensive. I think they'll destroy my organization in the end. But maybe that's just my kind of preparing for the worst.
It doesn't matter. It's done. When you stood up holding, you know, an AK in the law by Bastiat saying we can 3D whatever and bite me, they lost. It was over. Now they may want to, you know, exact some kind of penalty, or, you know, they got, you know, something in their bag and go, see, look, we caught it. We got a snipe right here. I mean, you know, I'm just wondering how influential you can be for the future and not cost Cody Wilson that much. I mean, I'm just you're what? Preparing for how are you going to come out of this thing? What are you looking to accomplish for you?
Oh man, I mean, we we did everything we said we wanted to do back in August. But no, I mean, you know, I'm interested in launching DeathCat.com. And I think that still, it's clear that a lot of 3D printing people aren't even going to go near gun stuff now. So if we can't host files, we can at least collect a group of manufacturers together who will make them for you. Shapeways and all these other people won't even make these things for you. So there's this whole sphere is providing a market for entrepreneurial people to meet demand, and let's go ahead and start leading the way there. I mean, I'm going to refuse to let this wither.
Well, explain bit. We just heard in the break one of the commercials they had on. I remember a friend of mine. All right, this is what happened when they did Sandy Hook. We had five films, movies that we knew were very powerful that would explain what the real thing about gun control is. So under SAFE, Second Amendment is for everyone, we went ahead and combined those five films into one DVD that we produced by the thousands, and we distributed them. You know, first you give them to all the politicians and the city council and the legislators and all that. Then you go to these different events, and you have them distributed by, you know, people in the Second Amendment community. Then, you know, boom, done. Next. And when we did that, you know, they're like, damn, this is a philosophical battle. So I can see where this is going. And when you do something like that, you announce yourself to be a totally uncompromising individual. What'd they do? It's a file for that he put up on, you know, Dropbox or whatever. It's gigs of information. So he goes, you got to do a BitTor. And I'm like, you know, I explain that to me. So what it is you put it, once it hits the internet and people, it just starts feeding it and other people get it and it feeds it and feeds it and it feeds it, which is kind of the same thing, the file for what you're doing to 3D printing. So it makes it, you know, there forever. I don't see how, like, explain BitTor so someone like me can understand how it really works. Would you please?
Yeah, yeah. The technology is called BitTorrent, and the files themselves are called torrent files. And the idea is basically that it's a distributed file sharing technology. So with the first generation file sharers and clients were based off of direct peer-to-peer transmissions where you would download from one person. And this would make large sharers, the large peers, very vulnerable to legal attack. I forget the guy's name who invented it right now, but he came up with a model of you take a file, you break that file up into constituent pieces and distribute it over as big a network as possible of different people who will host pieces. And so when I download the file or you download the torrent file, you take pieces from everyone in the local network, the kind of local regional network who has pieces of the file. So you assemble it from no one location. And basically the idea is similar to Bitcoin, similar to printable guns. It's distributed technologies will allow file sharing regardless of how capriciously and ferociously the government comes down on any one particular file share, because it's a swarm of people who have the data.
And their answer to this is, you know, kill all the 12-year-olds. I mean,
what? No, they can't even stop BitTorrent. They won't. And I think BitTorrent has been run through the legal ringer a few times, but it's been held or is still being argued to be a legitimate client. You can't help what people use it for. And so people still go after large peers and who share a lot of files and stuff, but it's actually a very successful form of file sharing. And it's what the Pirate Bay, the largest file sharing site in the world, uses as its primary medium. The Pirate Bay coordinates half the BitTorrent traffic on the entire internet. It's an amazingly successful form of file sharing.
Well, I think the BitTorrent, it was invented by the defense wing of the Navy or something. I mean, you know, you look at
that's Tor, which is different.
Oh,
Tor is a different kind of, yeah, it's onion routing. Totally different technology.
Oh, so there's, see, this is one thing when we had, because last year we had an entire edition of the e-zine was on all this stuff. I need to reread it. And what it was, basically, the entire World Wide Web is just the surface of an ocean of data. And there's not a damn thing they can do about it. But that won't mean they won't stop beating their chest.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies, yeah.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. You know, one thing I do want to find out is Whenever Cody is in, you know, DEFCAD or Defense Distributed is in the news, and Cody Wilson's the man, I always feel very comfortable that he's up there. You know, he's quiet, just, you know, skip to the end, get it said, this is what it's all about, I understand kind of guy. I'm like, you know, ooh, they don't like that. No, they don't want him associated with that. They want him associated with, we rule you. You know, and that's what's going to happen because it's the only thing that serves their interest. And I'm going, okay, as they go through this process, it gets a lot of press. You know, we're very fortunate. Cody, you know, will you know, remember our name. And I'm just like, hey, you know, I want to keep him safe. I want to keep, you know, him in the debate because he's a good person to have in that position. But all the media that he's done, all the talk shows that he goes on, all the high-profile, out there, well-read media outlets around the world, you know, I'd like to kind of get, you know, because you're in Dallas right now. You were just on The Blaze or something with Glenn Beck, weren't you?
Yeah, I was on that yesterday. I don't know when he rebroadcast it, but yeah, I saw Glenn Beck yesterday. I was going to see him again today, but we had to reschedule.
Well, go ahead and tell me, in general, how you're being courted by the media. I mean, what do they say? Oh, come on. Yeah, we love this. It's great and everything. And then you got, you know, you do the Piers Morgan. Oh, you've been invited to go on CNN, Piers Morgan yet or anything?
No, I haven't. I'm really surprised, by the way.
I am, too. You would think that I'd be calm saying, what's up? And they go, hell no.
I'm quite surprised for a number of reasons, because one, this was a big event in the UK a couple of weeks ago. I did the BBC thing and you know, Piers is British. And then, of course, I've done so much CNN as well. And it was a pretty big news story a couple of weeks ago. And I don't know, man. Piers, I think, has been avoiding me.
Yeah, because you represent exactly. It's just one more nail in his coffin. It's like,
yeah. Well, he's got problems, too, because he's defended the handgun. You know, he's defended the handgun so publicly against the assault rifle that he's got a real problem when we bring up the printed handgun.
And it's just, it goes back and forth. I remember it's the handgun. Then it's the rifle. It's the everything. I mean, you know, and you represent the everything. So what was Glenn Beck's take on it? He's like, yeah, freedom, man. I'm libertarian with limitations. I mean, you know, what's his deal?
Yeah, it's kind of libertarian with an asterisk. But, it's even he and his audience have moved toward the libertarian message in the past couple of years. But yeah, his message is essentially, hey, what right does the State Department have to do this to you? And I think that's, he's coming from a good place when he asked that question.
Heck, the fact that he even asked the question. I'm also looking at foreign media. I see you a lot in The Guardian and everything. Who, give us kind of a gist of, you know, who's very supportive and who's not. I mean, of course, you have like Alex Jones is, you know, big fan of yours. You have, what about Fox News? They, you know, give you a time of day.
Yeah. There's a writer I know at FoxNews.com, and then I've talked to some of the higher level producers, even the producer of that all star panel and everything that they have with Brett Baer. So yeah, I think Fox News is broadly supportive, or at least, you know, more supportive than not. But right, for the foreign media has been really interesting. I dodge almost all of it because you can imagine the requests are constant and from every corner.
Yeah.
I just can't do it all. So I avoid Australia. I avoid the UK now because I gave them everything that I had a couple weeks ago, and now I just kind of see, I want to find audiences I don't normally reach, like Denmark, and I've done a little bit of Russian TV. I'm going to do some French TV on the 23rd, but really I'm trying to ramp down the media now.
You know, this is one thing. I gave a presentation last Wednesday to a discussion group, been around for a few decades, and they try to make themselves libertarian, but they're really not. And so when you get up there and you start using you know, as an example, and I'm going, you don't understand. Generation Next does not recognize borders. They don't understand it. They're dealing in real live time. Hell, most of the Generation Next speak English anyway. And if they don't, you got instant translation. You communicate with a 13-year-old in Iran on how to, you know, make a, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, this is, it doesn't, they don't recognize borders anymore. And in their mind, they go, the debate was this. How do you address private security and national defense concerns in an anarcho-capitalist and an anarchist society? And I'm saying, you know, you already betray yourself when you say the word national defense. I go, you don't even think about the individual. It's always about the nation state. You already are, just by asking the question, you're already mind screwed by these guys. And you represent a total abandonment of the concept of nation states when you're dealing with information that provide, you know, the ability to defend yourself on an individual basis, regardless of any kind of borders. That is their problem. And I have, and I go, you're bucket crabs. You guys, anybody trying to get out of the bucket, you got to pull them back in. They might get out of your bucket. You want to be in control of your bucket. And gosh darn it, you want to be a chief with all the Indians in your bucket. And it doesn't matter if you're left or right, they have the same illness. And I'm going, no, you're the problem. You. And of course, they don't like that. But I mean, you know, you. And I'm thinking, and use as an example, Cody Wilson and guys like you. I'm going, look, you got this guy. What do you think? He was had a mindset. I need to go ask somebody's permission. I mean, he went and just did it, but he went through the process. OK, I fill out your paperwork. Cody and I had that discussion. But, you know, you need to demonstrate it. I'm like, all right, I know where this goes. But I mean, you know, peace out. You're a law student. You know what the law, how to read it, and you go play. So I am like, where do you see this going, regardless of the media and what their position is, regardless of the files going out and this and that and the governments and now it's quit it and all in the United Nations, small arms treaty, ban doing, regardless. What do you see the impact you already have had on the debate and the minds of Generation Next?
Yeah, well, I think ideas spring from deeds, and this was a great example of the propaganda of the deed. People see the a printed gun. It unpacks all the ideas for them. They don't really even need me out there talking about it. All the ideas are contained in that. They're like, wow, I can make something like that for myself. There's people all over the world that email me.
Yeah.
Still asking for the files, still telling me, hey, I'm glad of what you did. And the message is in what we did. I don't have to say another thing. The message is permanently out there.
I think you're done. Now you need to just do a propaganda thing on Cody Wilson and how much you love kittens or something.
Yeah, you're probably right, man.
You know, this is, who designed this? Was it a collaborative effort? Was there some 12-year-old in New Zealand that came up with it or what?
No. That's another thing. We had received so many designs over the months from other people that we still haven't even tested, but now, this was a result of a work between me and an engineer named John in Austin, and we had only worked on it for about 4 weeks after we had successfully tested barrels and springs. It was actually pretty easy to do in the end, and I'm sure there's a couple other ways we could have done it.
So the only thing that's not printed was a little nail, you know, to be the firing pin, and I don't know what else. Is that it? The bullet?
Yeah. We use the nail for the pin because these thermoplastics just can't, even with a fine point, don't have the hardness to strike a primer correctly.
I can find a nail.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a little 1-inch roofing nail. You can use a screw, and those have a little bit better concentricity and straightness.
Well, see, you can tell them that you're printing the file doesn't include a working gun.
Well, of course. I mean, the file itself, there is no one file. There's 16 component files that you print and then assemble into a gun. I mean,
well, it doesn't matter. Even if you have the entire file, it still doesn't work.
Well, that's right. That's right. You have to assemble it together, but it's okay. They claim
no,
the
even
power.
If you assembled every freaking part, it will not work until you get the nail. So it's so it's not done. I go, this is not a working firearm. Hell, I'd make that argument. I'd give them an out.
It's a good argument, but it's not the legal standard because in the end, they claim information related to manufacturer or, I mean, really, they claim information at even the lowest standard, even if it's tangentially related,
because they're the man.
Yeah,
because they say, yeah, you know, there's no logic, no reason, no spirit, or even the letter of the law. It's because they are the ones determining the law. This is so much that we've learned from Cody's willingness to talk to us. And when he gets big, giant coverage, and all of a sudden I know there's no use for me even calling Cody. I mean, you know, sometimes you'll communicate with me in the middle of it, and that's cool. But I'm more interested in after you do all the press, after you get all the attention, after, then you come and you talk to us and tell us what they had to say. All right, well, we're up to date now, you think, Cody?
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Hold on a second. I want to talk to you about it. I tell you, this, I can see where this is going, and it's not going to be, you know, in the long run, it's a personal benefit to Cody. You know, you always get benefit for being, you know, the good guy. And I go, who's the good guy in this? And who's the bad guy? You know, the administration's got some problems. They should just leave Cody alone. But we're going to make sure we all know about it.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear. But that doesn't mean that they're not afeared. You talk to, I'm going to tell you what happened over the weekend. I'll give you what for. There's so much stuff. All right, first, let me go ahead and show you some pictures. I want to describe, we prepped for the Aquadome. Aquaponics geodesic dome. So I call it the Aquadome. I got to get that domain. There's always got somebody's got Aquadome, whatever. I'll come up with something clever. Now, this is what we're doing. We prepped an area that we used for a garden before, and it's near where our fish pond is going to be. It's a water feature, waterfall. It's three times the size. We're going to have plenty. We're going to have more fish than we ever wanted. We're going to have to put some catfish in there to eat the other fish so we don't got too many fish. And so this is a equilibrium. It's going to take a little while to get it, you know, set up. We're hoping to have it, you know, producing, doing really well by September, October, because in October we want to do the great pumpkin thing for the kids for Halloween, and we'll have pumpkin patches out there and a big festival. We got enough land, and it'll be fun, and the man will show up and on videotape. So what we want to do is, and we be careful. Hey, we don't sell anything. We're just having a party. You know, we're all, you know, putting in kind of sharing food and whatever. Who are you? Okay, so it'll be fun. Now, let me go ahead and show you this. The side yard is probably about a 30 by 60 where we're trying to keep this in. We may expand it a little bit more area, but we wanted to demonstrate what can be done in a small area. So I prepped it, you know, and made sure that it, just plowed and tilled so I could level it, you know, because you need to have, you know, kind of loose dirt. You want to get it to where it's level and so on, and it makes it work easier. Now, we have this fish. Well, it's just, I don't know what it was used for. I mean, heck, it could be a hot tub for all I know, but it has a waterfall feature, which will help with the aeration, and we can pump the water back into the top of the waterfall so Donna gets her waterfall. Now, our bedroom is right at the corner, probably less than 30 feet from this thing. So you crack the window open and you just hear the water cascading. I know somebody's wife had their husband build this thing before we were here. I just, you know, I already know where this goes because, you know, Donna's waterfall. And I go, okay. So we have that. And then it has a kind of meandering, you know, river rock concrete stream that goes to it from another pool that can be pumped into. So we might use that. Now, the thing was, is that there's a deck there, and we, you know, sanded it and stained it, painted that, and got it all, everything all pretty here for when we're going to erect the domes, and leveled it out, threw some straw out there for a floor, and it has me doing that, got all level, and now we're ready to go. I coated it with, you know, composted straw from the chicken coop that we'd been piling up just to get rid of it, you know, it's not like I care, but we are going to do some planting in the ground. I have to have, for some root stuff, you know, like carrots. I need lots of carrots for my juicing kind of thing, so we'll definitely do that. Now, two summers ago, we used this garden for almost all my juicing. I mean, I couldn't drink it fast enough, so we're expecting a whole bunch of food coming out of here. Now, I like the straw thing because it's easy. Boom, instant lawn. So, my wife doesn't like it, but, because it tracks in. But now we're okay. She'll get over it. So, this is the area. The pictures that I'm showing here shows you where the domes are going. Now, the layout is we're going to put two domes that are going to connect. That's what I'm doing right now. I got the second dome out there. I didn't completely complete the second dome because we're integrating it and how it blends and has an archway between the two. They don't have plans for that, so I got to kind of customize it. So yesterday we're playing with grandkids, and we're out there doing it, and I'm working on it, and my daughter-in-law and son-in-law and daughter, they're all by playing with the kids, and I'm out there grinding and doing and creating dome. Now, what I'm going to show you is those that are on video, you can see the pictures of the Aqua Dome. Now, what we are showing here is us assembling this entire, these three piles of conduit that's been cut and pressed and drilled and so on, is one dome. Now, two of these sets of three piles of three different lengths are both domes. Now, what I'm showing now is laying out the perimeter of the dome, and we start assembling it. And then it just starts popping up. You just put them these pins at the hinges. You don't need fasteners. That's why we use the conduit, because you can squish the end, drill a hole, put it together. I mean, it's that simple. Now, we got all anal about grinding and sanding and spend a lot of time making the pieces pretty, but we'd look for an automated process for that because, it's a lot of work. So we get it together. We start putting them. Oh, there's the first dome. Then you see we have a doorway there. So it's all about where we put the doorways, too. We're going to have the doorways done to where from far away you can see inside, and then, have some elevated shots here. Now, that deck that we have will feature a lot of the equipment and the logos of these different companies that are helping us, and we get to promote them. Now, this gentleman here, this is Chad. He is with one of the Aqua Dome company. He's going to make sure that this is the guy that is going to be on Doomsday Prepper in this fall. Now, they're setting him up, and he knows it. He's just like, whatever, I got a free thing, what do I care? I got a panic room, so I can get to my backyard, yay. So it's just all a game, and if they start screwing with him, we'll make, sure everybody knows. Now, this is going to, because of the structure, they're very excited, because they can see that you go 3D. There's going to be hanging towers of, freaking foliage, man. I mean, we're going to be producing us some food. Now, you can see that if you're looking at the video, my neighbors, we live in kind of, it's a horse property. We're in, Phoenix. I have like a Glendale address, because that's where the post office is or something down the street. But I live in Phoenix. I vote in Phoenix, assuming I voted, in Phoenix. So I'm going, okay. So we have like nice open areas on the side. My neighbors can all see this and go, hey, what the heck is going on over there? That's when we're going to do the newsletter. And we go around and introduce our neighbors, say, take a look. We'll have some pictures on the cover of this when we get this done. And that will be our introduction to everyone. We'll say, look, this is what we're doing. This is why. We want you to be fed. We don't want you to go hungry. We don't want you to come eat our dog. And this is going to provide a lot of opportunity for this kind of article, this kind of resistance, this kind of activism. And the more and more you start to see people are getting sick, they're not living well, they are slaves to the Walgreens pharmacy. I mean, it's getting bad. And much faster and a lot worse than I anticipated. I mean, when I got my kids actually listen to us about food and eating better and so on, I'm like, damn, damn. I mean, to overcome the because dad said I'm not doing it thing, to overcome that, I'm doing it because damn, I'm going, wow, it must be really real. So certainly in their heads. Now, that brings up another thing. A good close friend of mine goes and he's putting on deodorant, and under his left arm, all of a sudden overnight popped up. It's like a little loaf of bread. I mean, it's probably the size of a, almost a pencil eraser. And he's like, whoa, what the heck is that? He goes to the doctor. They take it and they go, T-cell carcinoma lymph, whatever the heck, a bad cancer. And he went, whoa, 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 whoa. That, part of the lymph system there, whoa. So he got religion really fast. Tell me about this Gerson thing. So he starts doing juicing and enemas and everything right away. In addition, what happened was my daughter sent Donna a recipe for another cancer treatment. Now we're going to talk about Steve Porak and his raffling off his 50 caliber. It's up, we put it back at the top of Freeman's Phoenix right now. You can go, you know, get a raffle ticket for a 50 caliber he's selling for his juicing treatments. You know, that we're going to start talking about health a lot because they don't want us to be healthy. They just want us to be dependent. We'll be right back.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And we're back. I want to get right to this. Let's go ahead and take a look at the dome. Okay, I walk out there, and I got right on that street. You can see, if you're looking at the video, you'll see the street in front of my house on the side up there. Let's go back to that. And a slow cruise Phoenix police cruiser. Hello. they want to take care of me. So I'm really seeing this as becoming a thing. Now, let me go ahead and explain what happened this weekend. I get a call last week. Well, last week we did a show that had GMO-free AZ dot whatever, okay? And it is a woman. She's just, man, you know, GMOs about killed me. She's just, you know, was sick that she's going to die. And it just got to where it was the food she was eating. So she's like, no, I'm, you know, she went all healthy and everything. And she's evangelizing her cause with a lot of people. Well, coming in, oh, so 25th, 27th. When is the Monsanto thing, Donna? Do you know? Go ahead and find out, will you please? It's the end of this month, this weekend or something. They're coming up with a big worldwide planetary Monsanto protesting their bad. Well, Monsanto doesn't take this stuff lying down. I mean, they got big, giant, humongous budgets of. They understand how this works. It is, man, you got to keep your legislation and congressmen all nice and close and go get the dissidents and make a woo-hoo and whatever, and they're the Pentagon. I mean, you know. So Monsanto, you might as well just say government. You know, same thing. Yeah, judges ruling, you know, you're violating our patents by our pollen got on your plants and use your seed and it's ours and we sue you into oblivion. Now, this is, man, this is weird stuff. But what about home gardening? What about if everybody, what if it was only 5%, 10%, and then those people start turning out to be healthy? You know, all of a sudden they start to see it's not just an investment in growing your own food, it's investment in growing your own medicine. As this one TED Talk I watched last night, it's on the page, I think, today, there's a black gentleman from, you know, South Central LA, you know, going, can't we just take all this public property that I'm supposed to be in charge of anyway up by the sidewalk? I'll just put a garden there. Well, people complain. No, don't want you to have a garden there. And he's like, it's free food, whoever wants. That one other point he brought up is Los Angeles has in its possession 20-something Central Parks, you know, like the size of Central Park, like 26 square miles of just uninhabited, vacant lot, nobody's whatever. And he's going, no, we're just going to start growing our own food, because he gave pictures he showed of his neighborhood. He goes, look, it's all liquor stores and fast food. He goes, they trade these scooters, like used cars on the corner. You'll see a big giant like used car lot of all of these motorized wheelchairs and so on. And he's like, this is signs of something bad. Worldwide March Against Monsanto protest plan for May 25th. That's this Saturday. Okay, that's what's going on. Now, they came over after we had, you know, the conversation, you know, some of these people, they're from the Prepper Fest and so on, and many of them came over, they wanted, you know, either in studio or they wanted to come see what we had going on. They keep hearing about Freedom's Phoenix, so they wanted to come visit. They were like, oh my goodness, I got a girl that's going to be doing t-shirts and a bunch of stuff and hooked her up with, well, I said, look, I can't keep doing this stuff for you guys. I'll help you. Let's use the machine. I got 2-hour block. When you got it all ready, you need to get this, and this. I'm going to help you with this. This guy will do the burn the screen of that. You bring up, boom, and I got 2 hours and I'll help you make sure it's done. Okay? But you do it. Now, I'm very clear about that. I go, look, I am not your guy's secretary, okay? I can't, you know, keep taking responsibility for this stuff, but it doesn't matter anyway. No matter how much I yell, winds up, you know, or, you know, whatever, you know, helping these guys. I don't mind helping them. But what I do it at a investment in them learning how to do it. Now, I won't give her name, but her initials are Andrea Garcia. And she kind of calls me. She's a good evolutionary, and she's a busy nurse and so on. Well, she's the one all amped up about Agenda 21 stuff. She started scratching the surface and like, oh, wow. So these people that came over, oh, wow, we need, this is great. You can print this and do this and make that. And oh, we need you to that. Whoa, 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 whoa. Need me to, you know, no, no, that ain't how it works. Get your butt over here. I may teach you how to do it, but you and your crew, you do it. I'm not your staff, all right? So you got to make these clear. They get all passionate. They just think they see a resource and they just want to manage it. And I'm going, no, 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 no. That's not how this freedom libertarian thing works, you know? So what happened? I said, here, you need to talk to Andrew. So they got hooked up, and they were going to have big, giant need signs for and all and whatever. And she goes, we're going to have a sign-making thing at your house Saturday, Ernie. And I go, yeah, you are. I'm not. So she comes over early and brings all the stuff. They still needed help with the artwork. They needed help run the digital. You know, they needed, you know, the Ernie button. So I had a wedding to go to that evening, and after that, you know, this reporter thing that we'll get to. So I go, all right. So I help them get it up, and then I get a call yesterday from the girl that wants to do T-shirts and found out we were the ones that did the stencils for all the signs that they were making. Oh, wow. You know, thank you guys are the crap, man. We want to come help do whatever. Now, who are these people? They're the left. They're the liberal, hippie, progressive, day-lob, you know, permaculture and kind of whatever. But I know a lot of these guys. And now you have the activists coming over, and then they get to know Freedom's Phoenix. And what are they learning? You do it yourself. I am not your mother, okay? I'm not going to tell you how. I'm not going to tell you how to do it or what to do or what you should say or whatever. I'm just going to show you how. Then you do it, and you start to replicate. What happens when you got an entirely new genre, you know, of people out there learning this stuff? You know, I give you an example. It was 2004 election. Now, keep in mind, in that election, I ran for U.S. Senate against John McCain. So it was, you know, obvious, you know, what my position was and well-known and so on. At that time, I was producing for Charles Goyette also. Now, he's a very popular Clear Channel affiliate here with Hannity and Rush Limbaugh. And he was the, you know, afternoon cleanup on that and everything. Very popular show, well-known, got it together. Now, he's an internationally best-selling author, but, you know, translated in Korean and Chinese. I mean, you know, the boy's got skills. Now, and you hear my opening, you know, the rejoiners and so on. That's his voice. You know, we're good friends. Now, what happened was he comes to me and I'm saying, look, after the 2004 election cycle, and we get done November and everything, I'm going to go back into my own business and focus on do and whatever. He goes, no, Ernie, I need you to come with me over to Air America. Air America affiliate here wanted our show to go over Charles's show and me producing. We went over and negotiated salaries and benefits and all this other crap. And we go and talk, and they're like, oh, yeah, we want you to come over, anti-war, libertarians, liberals, same thing, you know, anti-war, libertarian, come over here. And it wasn't even before we started the show, just with the promos, they started to realize and study in libertarianism, and we already had a contract, and they realized you guys are against Medicare and Social Security and all these other entitlements. And they were like, yeah. And they're like, well, we thought app contract, But within less than 3 months, I mean, it like immediately, all of a sudden, man, his was one of the most popular Air America morning shows in the country. And it was certainly a local film. We had remotes that had thousands of people come up all the time. And what was the goal? To plow a new field. Primarily progressive Democrats. Do you think we should do this already? Hell yeah! Hell yeah! Help the left! Get them in! Have go to Phoenix Occupy and the Tea Parties, all of them, and teach them about real freedom. Then what? I don't know. But we're finding out more when we come back.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yep, we're back. Yeah, I'm sitting over here doing them, putting up unintended consequences files again. All right, let me explain. In 1993, it was being written, so on, 94 was the main release of Unintended Consequences by John Ross. He was a Missouri, I think it was St. Louis. He was an author, an attorney, that wrote a book about, you know, they passed all these gun laws, these laws, and got laws and bad and kind of individuals against the federal government kind of thing. And if you read it, it was like Claire Wolf, you know, did the review on it. Well, I mean, she goes, it's a romance novel for men, you know. And I'm kind of like, there's really not a better description of it. It's just kind of the action flick. I'm waiting for the movie, and there's like no way in hell they're going to allow them to make this movie. It's kind of like an Atlas Shrugged thing. So I really see this is kind of an understanding of how you reach a certain point, and then all of a sudden it's death of a million cuts to government in general, certainly their legitimacy. And that's what was so, man, they didn't like this book at all. If you had this on your table at a gun show or whatever, selling it, man, the BATF, you know, wanted to remind you how much they didn't approve. So I'm like, okay, so this really had, so what happened? One of the listeners found a bunch of different files for your Nook, your Kindle, you know, you had a PDF and a bunch of other formats and so on, and we put up on Freedom's Phoenix. So I'm going to go ahead, I got it, you know, let's go ahead and put it at the top right now. I didn't get push the other button I need to push. And this is just the mindset that I'm trying to, you know, get with what's going on with Cody and Adam Kokesh. Okay, we haven't talked about Kokesh yet. And I talked to Adam about that and so on. See, that's why with Cody, why I stay in touch with him is because I can see, and we talked to Adam about his intent on the walking the loaded rifle across the bridge into Washington, D.C. in the arms of, and here you're going in the Huskow. Well, now they're going to get him for, I don't even know what. I mean, they just make up stuff as they go along. Said that he resisted or assaulted federal officers. He did something. You know, I'm like, jury trial. And then what, they're keeping him in jail for what? For excessive drug use. You know, well, the guy's got, you know, a marijuana card for post-traumatic, I was in the Marines in Iraq kind of excuse, you know, so he gets his marijuana. But I'm just going, you know, this is their, you know, wow, they're playing this game. And I don't see how it benefits the man on this, but I understand what is a much wider, broader base of support from the people, and it's their health. I don't see growing food as like I'm going to break the bank or something like that. That's not the point. You know, I see this as extending our health, our life, and to show that they don't want the livestock growing their own food. No, you get whatever we give you. And for whatever reasons we give it to you in the packaging that we use, and the bright colors of, and the commercials on Nickelodeon, and how much, you know, industrial waste crap we added corn syrup to get your kids to eat. You know, this is where it's, and what's going on in Los Angeles. You know, this TED Talk that's up there. Now I'll get Donna to put it up on today's show because I was really impressed by it, and it was just bypassing the crowd. He's an artist. He goes, look, I understand the impact of this. You know, we need to get it to where you ain't gangster. You know, gangster gardener. He goes, you ain't gangsta unless you're growing your food. If you're not growing your own food, you ain't gangsta. Now, tell me how gangsta you are and you're not growing your own food. It's like printing money. So he gets that attitude into, you know, South Central. All of a sudden, that, you know, the TED Talk that's up there on the food, Donna, the TED Talk thing that's on the food, put that on today's show archive, will you please, in the second hour. Because I really see this as the power. Will they come after it? They already tried with him. Seriously. No, you're not allowed. Well, that's kind of the gangsta thing that they were doing at the Prepper Fest. One of the permaculture demonstrations that they had, they were calling them seed balls. And they had, you know, it's just like different nutrients and so on, and looked like, you know, clay or, you know, just dirt. And they put it around a seed, and here's a seed ball. Well, you soak this, and then you go plant it in the gutter somewhere or something. Oh, my goodness, a plant will grow. And I'm going, well, maybe not in Phoenix, but, you know, but there are a lot of, you know, ditches and so on. You know, there are places around the country. We did stories on this one guy's quest to make ditches productive with potatoes. He was just planting potatoes everywhere, every ditch you got a ditch and grow, there's going to be some potatoes that, because even if you mow it, when they come in and they go, you know, mowing all leaves and everything, there's enough there to keep the potato. You go hungry, just dig the ditches. You know, we don't got enough ditches in this country. And what do you care if you're mowing, you know, potato vines or grass, what, you know, the ditches? They're kind of doing this gangster thing too. Their idea was, you know, we got all this vacant land, all this city land, all this land underneath billboards, all this back lot, you know, kind of abandoned, whatever, and we can grow food. Yes, you can. Knock yourself out. And I kept hearing them say this one phrase, well, we're under the radar. The radar, the radar, the radar, which means that there is radar in their heads. They already know there's somebody looking that can say no. They already got that prison in their head. They're just kind of bucking a little bit, which is cool. You know, at least they're doing that. And they want to stay under it. And I'm like, why? I mean, you know, so they don't Cody Wilson you. That's why. So I'm going, all right. So this mindset is going to manifest itself, and it's going to come into conjoining with this libertarian levolution kind of thing this weekend. And is it this weekend? I think it is this weekend. So it's, yeah. So this weekend, this Saturday, they're going to have their big, do I need to go, want to go? Maybe not. I'm not planning, don't care. You know, I'm happy that they got to express themselves and to get their signs and they get their stuff and they do their T-shirts and they're appreciative of Freedom's Phoenix help and whatever, and we'll promote and peace out. But what are they really learning? You know, a lot of these guys don't understand. The leaders in the Monsanto anti, we don't want, they were very much actively trying to discourage any information or representation of Agenda 21 stuff. They go, oh, it's too radical. It doesn't have anything to do with the hell it doesn't. That is, hell it doesn't. Okay? So that is where the overlap is with the levolution. They're looking at this, trying to control, and you can't, and always, and you're not allowed, you know, with this planned, sustained development, community, yada, yada. And what they're doing, they don't see, or they don't want people to see the connection. And there's a big connection. So that's what's going on now. We're trying to, you know, what DVD do we want to do? What combination? What compilation? What can we get, you know, thousands of these that, you know, we give out to these people? Even if there's a few dozen or a few hundred or a couple thousand people, you give them supplies to give their neighbors. Then they saw the trash can flyers and they go, ooh, that's good, good. We could use, yes, you can. Here's the format. Knock yourself out. Well, where do we? Over here. Dude, you know, I don't got to do it for you. Anyway, that's why we put the template out. Go do it. So this type of activism is infectious, and I already see where it's going. It's going to be they can't allow the livestock to be able to grow their own food and medicine. And heck, you know, that was kind of the ancient Greek philosophy of it. You know, your medicine is your food, and your food is your medicine. Duh. My daughter sent Donna, my oldest daughter, Rhea, sent Donna an article on a cancer cure. And what it basically came down to is a chemist and a biochemist or whatever that was knew all the big boys back in, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s that, you know, discovered that when they started processing foods and oils for shelf life and so on, it had all kinds of detrimental effects on our health. So what they did is they said, you know, flaxseed oil is the only one that doesn't coagulate for some reason. Anyway, it's a blah, blah, blah. Bottom line is, no fat or very low fat cottage cheese that is mixed with flaxseed oil, and you emulsify it in a blender, kind of zzz, and then you can put other stuff in it. But that very mechanism right there allows for it to get into the cells or the oxygen that's needed to kill cancer cells. So it's a cancer cure. I mean, like, you know, quick cure. So my friend Gary that went and they said, yeah, you got whatever. He got religion, started doing this. Within days, a couple of weeks, he's cut out his arthritis medication, no more pain medication, all this time walking around. I go, why do you even need the cane anymore? Because he does. I mean, he's been walking 2 miles a day in the pool just so he could keep mobile. I mean, it's amazing what's happened.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah.
saying. You know what I mean? Okay. What I want to do is I want to make sure that we, you know, cover a lot of the things that just went on this week and get you caught up. One, this flaxseed oil cottage cheese thing. You know, I can just go ahead and read you some just some highlights of it. Donna put it back up on the top. I didn't even know that this story went up there. And my daughter sent it to Donna, and she saw something on Pinterest about cancer cure, whatever, and she went and looked. And they, of course, they want you to, you know, buy the book, screw that, buy the book. And she went out and Googled and found, and all of a sudden, here's all the information. You don't need to buy the book. This is what it is. It's simple, okay? And it's called the Bugwig cure and or diet or whatever it is. And it has its own history. Of course, they keep suppressing this stuff, but personal experience, good friend of mine, he gets diagnosed that he had, you know, this uber duber lymphoma de la cancer, oh my god, we're all gonna die kind of thing, caught it early, had it removed off of his armpit area, and then he started this immediately, and they're like, okay, you're okay, and things are. And I had a friend, I was at a wedding Saturday, it was 2-3 years ago, that when I first started doing this Gerson diet, kind of my juicing thing, and I was doing the enemas for like a year or something, whatever, just trying to, you know, per diet, I didn't feel sick. I just didn't feel really healthy. I just wanted to prevent it. I could see, yep, you know, my old age is going to be all crickety if I don't do something. So I did, and I feel a lot better. Well, he told me, his name is Tom, and he goes, Ernie, I just want to tell you, and I haven't seen you in a while, when we went to a Cardinals game, another friend of ours, the father of the bride, had invited us. You know, he always has nice, you know, 50-yard line, front row seat kind of deal. And he, you know, the opening game had us go, and we had a good time. Got to catch up with some old friends. So we're there, and I'm telling them about the this diet, you know, and what we were doing and how and why. And he had a personal experience, and they told him he had liver problems. They had all kind of went on detailed this, that, and so on. He remembered me talking to him about the liver cleanse thing, and all it is Epsom salt that you don't eat after 2 p.m. in the afternoon. You let the bile kind of build up. You do some Epsom salts, like down in a shot of gin and tonic. You do that at 6, 8, 10. Then you lay down. You take this whatever stuff. It's a long story, but it's really just magnesium and Epsom salt opens up the ducts in the liver and the gallbladder, and all of this cholesterol comes out. All these pellets that are clogging the ducts and everything. And then you get in a colander, you go to the bathroom in a colander, and you're supposed to count the pellets. I chose not to count. But, you know, it's just boom, all, and it's earwax. That's all it is. It's earwax. How do I know this? I check the consistency after rinsing in the shower. But the, you know, I'm going, what is it? Man, what the heck? Everybody's telling me you got to do this thing. So we did it. First, you do the anti-parasite deal, is a marshmallow wood, de la, whatever the heck it is. You go to the Eye of Newt, you know, colander people, you know, down at the, you know, the cauldron, kind of boil in trouble, whatever health food thing downtown here. They had one at the Town and Country Mall. I go down there. I said, hey, I need this, this, and this. Internet says I got, Don and I did it. And if it's not on a 3x5 card, I don't do it. I don't want to read all these books. I can understand and so on and, you know, explain and okay, I have a lot of other people have time and friends. They do that. I get it. I just want to know what it is I got to do. Tell me the basic. I mean, like I'm going to believe or understand it anyway. I'll just do it. I'll use my own mind. I can, you know, I'm not an idiot. You know, it's food. Okay, well, let's go ahead and see what happens. Well, I did this. Felt a lot better. Tom did it. Went back a few weeks later and they go, you're cured. I don't know what you did, but man, it's, you know, problem solved. And he's going, Ernie, big peace out solid, man. I'm going, all right, cool. Glad that worked out for you. These are the kinds of impacts that we have on people's lives. My daughter sends this, it's flaxseed oil and cottage cheese, a cure for all cancers. Now, see this stuff, diet has always been, she was a chemist, and what she figured out was that all the processing of the oils, a lot of them, you know, just coagulate and get thick and do and kind of, and cancer cells don't thrive in an oxygen environment. They're more acidic, okay? They acid as opposed to an alkaline shift in your pH. That's one thing about you do the apple cider vinegar and, you know, towel over your head and boiling water thing, you're changing the pH in your lungs. That's why it has such a positive impact quickly. I just learned this too. Last few months I've been going, oh my goodness, why didn't they? Well, of course, they showed it in old movies, you know, forever. Well, I got to wait till it hits the internet and comes back and resurrect this information. I was wondering what the heck they were doing in all these old movies. So I'm going, okay, so that was a cure back in the day. So there's all kinds of experiences on how this works and why. Now, before going into specifics, I'm going to just read this, and you'll see what's going on. I'll let you look at some Aquadome. Okay, pictures while I do this. Before going into the specifics of what makes this concoction so undeniably effective, I want to first refer readers back to an earlier article written by me and posted on my website called The Real Cause of Cancer. It was about the incredibly simple discovery by Dr. Otto Warburg, who won a Nobel Prize in 1931 for discovering that not only is oxygen deficiency the prime cause of cancer, but the cancer cells are also anaerobic. Anaerobic means the cancerous cells do not breathe oxygen like normal cells and therefore cannot survive in the presence of high levels of oxygen. Conversely, true is that cancer cells love sugar, flourish in an acidic environment, and cannot survive in a balanced alkaline environment. From there, Dr. Budwig was able to determine that it is the absence of linoleic acids in the average Western diet that is responsible for the production of oxidase, which induces cancer growth and is the cause of many other chronic disorders. The next step was the realization that using oxygen in the body is an excellent way to eliminate cancer cells, and that oxygen can be stimulated by protein compounds of sulfuric content. These protein compounds make oils more water soluble and are found in cheeses, nuts, onion, garlic, and especially in cottage cheese. Now, let me discuss just why these two unlikely products are insignificant by themselves, yet when combined, become a very unique recipe described as far and away the most successful anti-cancer diet in the world by Dan C. Roem, MD, FASC, who is an oncologist and former cardiologist, blah, blah, blah. This is what they're saying. The pH levels and the traits of cottage cheese and flaxseed oil allow for the penetration of the cell membrane to be more oxygenated. It kills cancer. Boom, problem solved. And it's a diet thing. You know, it's just, well, duh. You know, why are we dying or have so many afflictions? I mean, is it just from vaccines we give every kid at birth continually? You know, is it our diet? Is it everything coming out of a Mylar bag? You know, this is the revolution. This is the revolution. This is what is, you know, what do we hear? All these Bilderberg and kind of whatever, we got too many people. You know, it's like we're in soft kill mode here. They're going, you know, Monsanto. So when you want to fight these guys, I see all this stuff going on, like with Adam Kokesh. We're going to be doing a show this week on what's going on with him. He's still in jail. I've seen the videos. You know, he's out there doing a smokeout thing. We're going to defy, in defiance of the law, we're going to light up some marijuana. He goes in 10, 9, 3, 2, 1, light up, boom. They came up, he had the microphone, they arrested him. Resisting arrest, assault on federal officer. Video of him just holding his hands up like this. Hey, man. They're trying to throw him down, and he's just like standing there. He's like a tree trunk, and I just pissed him off. He didn't take a face plant, you know, willingly or something. I don't know what the, but, you know, hands back, didn't resist, haul me off wherever you want. I'm under arrest. Felony. Assault on an officer. Because they can. 4th of July. Is he going to be able to make that? He's going to walk across the bridge in the waiting arms of? They don't want him to be a martyr on the Second Amendment issue. They'd rather get him for something else, marijuana. Yeah, I don't know what the game they're playing, you know, to think that we don't see, but it's, you know, it's to the big mass media audience, I guess, something. You know, so what do I do? This is going to keep ratcheting up. This is the point I keep making. This is going to keep ratcheting up. What can we do? Ratchet it down. Down to the common denominator of everybody, and it's just going to be eating well. Be your own medicine. Understand the food. Don't be livestock. All this other stuff doesn't matter if you're sick and dependent on them. What do you think this Obamacare thing is about? Everybody's got a pathogen. Everybody's immune system is compromised. Everybody, they want them to understand why they need us. Well, what happens when we don't need them? Then what? Ooh, and that's what I'm working for, and that's what we're going to find out. And that is the greatest activism. We'll be right back. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm more than a wonderful. All right. What are we going to talk about? Why am I having you on? What are you going to share?
Microwave towers, chemtrails, fibers.
Okay. And how is all this interrelate in the one guest? How are we overlapping this stuff? Why?
Well, I just feel like a lot of people aren't discussing them, not to the fullest extent that it can be. And I think it needs to be discussed.
All right. Well, we'll go ahead and discuss it. Now, what I'm going to do is probably most of the first segment, I'm going to be yakking about why I'm having you on and do and how I deal with people that want to have them say and because. So we'll go, all right, so we're rolling dice and here we go. We'll see if she's, in a second, you're boring next, okay?
Right.
So we'll go ahead and do this. You know how I deal. So I'll give everybody their say and then we'll see where it goes.
Okay.
All right. So we'll start at 6 minutes after. Just stay right there.
Okay.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Welcome back to Declare Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Catherine Polk, we'll get to her in just a little bit. She's a listener that wanted to have her say. And it was, I don't know, last week or the week before. And we're in the middle of a show, and I guess she didn't know that we were on, and she listened to archives and so on. Ooh, you need to know about. But she calls in on the line. Donna's talking to her, and I kind of go, look, it sounds all very interesting. You know, we'll go ahead and just book her for an hour, so we'll do it. All right? And we'll do that, whether it's interesting or not, live on air with you. Now, I don't know anything other than I know she's concerned about, all the conspiracy, DeLaw, chemtrail, FEMA, what, and I don't see it the way most people do. They go, Ernie, what do you think about this, that, and the other thing? And I go, I don't look at it the way you guys do. I look at it a different way. Can they, them, those, the ones who won't leave us alone, can they maintain, enhance, expand their intrusiveness, bleed you dry, get more money out of you, scope over your life, and more their ranchers, your livestock kind of mentality? Can they? Well, if they can, then they are. These are not moral people. These are not people that believe in limits. These are not people that think, oh, we shouldn't do that because that would be wrong. You know, we should do that because we can, and it enhances our whatever. But they operate from a very jacked up, they don't get it, everything is a nail because all they got's a hammer. And so I understand it in that context. So I always go, look, what if I just bypass their thing? What if I create my own food? What if I create my own energy? What if I, live more autonomously? What if I don't bank in their system? What if I, plan for my own retirement? What if I take my healthcare in my own hands? What if I create networks with people to be able and we kind of survive and thrive in community and won't you be my neighbor? So that is my activism. And everything that Donna and I have done over 25 years has been to highlight what the bad guys are doing, why, and what we can do to emphasize that. How many minds can we free? Now it's how many asses can we save? It's getting down to that. So we're making a shift, a change, as quickly as we can. You'll see a little formatting differences and so on the site and all that kind of stuff. But before I get to Catherine, I already told her that, most of the first segment I'm going to be yakking until we get to her, and this is why. Saturday, I went to a private party, and we're hanging. And there was a Channel 12 new reporter from Orlando. She had whatever controversy going on, Orlando divorce and whatever, moves here and kind of, and she's going off, I'm the freedom fighter. Now, Shelton, 4409, was there. And, you know, he's buttering up to her and kind of, she's an attractive Amerasian woman that just, you know, had, she's 37, 38, when looks in her 20s, you know, trying to convince us how she's much more experienced and she's just not pretty face and she's out and they're going to go get the bad guys. And I got, you know, like this case and that case and this, you know, kickball coach was making $50,000 a year and she outed that, or this librarian is going to get a big giant increase in salary and we nipped that and we didn't. I'm going, yeah, are there still libraries? I mean, you know, I'm trying to explain to her, I go, we see the world totally differently, not that we're governed more efficiently or better, but that we're not. And that, you know, even libraries are in competition with, you know, private libraries or booksellers or video rentals. I mean, it just, you know, they're even going to the public library. They got couches and lattes and donuts. I'm like, what is at a loss? Why? You know, to compete with the other, to justify their existence, get somebody to go. I mean, this is, I'm telling you, man, we see the world totally differently. So we're trying to explain that, and all of a sudden, before we left, we're getting ready to leave, and 4409 had his videos of him doing the fruit Nazi kind of thing up, and he had it recut and kind of the three-part deal, and it was really fun, and everybody wanted to sit around and watch this, and Mark had it up with the big speakers going on, the big screen and everything, and it's and Shelton has really good intros, and so, and she got a look at the kind of media we do, the production quality we do, the issues that we do. When it gets over and she's like, yeah, everybody looks at her. You're like, yeah, is this something you'll cover? I don't know. And we're all going, ah, see? You know, that's why you guys are done. And she goes, well, what you can do for me? And then they worked out something. She might do something to try and save her street cred of for freedom or something. And we left. I don't care. And I, what I was saying to her, I go, you want the Ernie button pushed? Right? Let me tell you what this means. You want to be seen as the freedom reporter? You want to get all this stuff? I mean, do you clear it? Or do you got to go to an editor? Well, of course, she's got to go to her editor, producer. That goes up the chain. And if it's considered, you know, allowable, they can put that on. Well, it's not going to, she's not going to become no Ben Swan. You know what I mean? So I'm going, all right. So if you want to be seen as the freedom-oriented reporter, you just let me know, and I'll push the Ernie button. Shelton will do a video. We'll say you're the greatest person in the world. Give all your crazy stories to her. You know, she, you can vet it. She'll, I'm not going to put them all up. I don't care. I go, do you or do you not want to know about, I got to tell you right now, this Saturday, it's a worldwide protest on Monsanto. You got all these local activists here, the Occupy, blah, 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 working with the Tea Party, yada, yada. You got, and this is going to be a big deal, and you don't know anything about it. Do you want to know? Do you want, do you even care? Are you just going to get, all of a sudden, you get the memo from National, kind of, and all of these people, and it's all alternative media doing whatever, and you don't know, you're last to know? Are you, and all you, it's not the news, it's the olds, and you're just doing spin on what is already out there and everybody knows. And the only time you guys cover anything is when everybody already knows about it, and you just want to spin it. Well, you think I don't know? No, yeah, but no, I'm you'll save it, okay? When you prove yourself, then you go, until then, I don't even want to talk to you. You know, I'm trying to be nice. I mean, do you really want this? Well, I find myself in the same situation with Catherine Polk. Same thing. They come to me, and you know, do I decide whether I talk to these people or not? Do I decide if they're crazy or if they got legitimate concerns? Do I decide, you know, I go, well, yeah, you know, quite a bit. But that doesn't mean that we can't do it together, you and I. So Catherine's going to come on. She's, I have no, I know it's conspiratorial, whatever, FEMA chemtrail stuff. Yeah, okay, whatever. Now I'm telling the same thing to this reporter. I'm going, look, when somebody, do you even know about chemtrail? Oh, yeah, there was, you know, what? What do you know? You just know to go, ah, you know, Pshaw? Or do you know anything about it? What about the FEMA camp thing? Do you know? You want to know anything? One of the other guys, another attorney, goes to her and he goes, you know, just today, you know, the last couple of days, the Pentagon, the military, has said that in civil unrest, defined by whatever the hell they say it is, they, without presidential approval, as if presidential approval had made it okay anyway, that's just stupid right there, getting your mind screwed up just even saying that, that they can arrest people. Throw you in military jurisdictional, we got you, you're getting the bus, go Guantanamo kind of thing. This is, you know when we have military police state? When the military claim that they're the police. They just did. We're military police state. not later. When they say that they can do this, this is it. Done. Next. Next question. No, we're on a police state. No, we're not. You're going to conspiracy. You know, I get that with Alan Corwin, the Second Amendment kind of, you know, NRA Republican lapdog guy. Now, he was at this event I did last Wednesday. Oh, you sound like a fool, Ernie. Oh, you're just crazy. Really. The next day, 2 days later, the military came out and said, we arrest you if we say there's civil unrest and done and no permission. We're the military. Alan Corwin, hello. Are we in a police state yet? What the hell is your definition? So I'm going, you know, this is, so I'm, all right. She wants to talk about it. So I'm going to let Catherine talk about it. I haven't talked to her other than just say, hey, man, we're going to talk about it. You're on till you're boring. All right. So she knows this. We're going to interview Catherine together because I do the same thing with this reporter for the NBC Gannett affiliate over here. And I'm going, look, when these people call, do you even talk to them? Do you even understand the issues? Do they have anything that resonates? Do you even want to know? Is that your goal?
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets in the past, up until the last couple of years. Homes that were once going for $500,000 to $1 million in prestigious areas are now going for less than half of what the original purchase price was. That makes it a very good time to buy. So if you were ever thinking of retiring to Arizona's inviting climate and laid back and friendly lifestyle, now is the time. That's where I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty, and I have provided a way for you to search for properties that are of interest to you, all at your own convenience and without having to give out any personal information. Visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com to start your search today. And when you're ready to make a move to Arizona's warm and sunny climate, please feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. Many are working hard to make sure Arizona is not only a beautiful place to live, but a free and peaceful one as well. So what are you waiting for? Make your move today by calling 602-828-1819. And don't forget to visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, here comes the man. Oh, and what for? You know, there's so many. Now, let's go ahead and get, you know, a little history. You know, our listener, Catherine Paul, she calls in because she was motivated to call in because. All right, let's go ahead and find out. Catherine, I got you there?
Hi there.
All right. Let's go ahead and tell everybody everything. I don't want to be a hypocrite because okay. When I get on, you know, the media's case and I say, look, man, do you even know? You don't even know what you don't know. You have people call in, they do, you know, when we did Talker Magazine, when we first started doing Freedom's Phoenix back in, it was like 06 or so, 05, 06, early 06, we would do big ads, quarter page ads in Talker Magazine. And it's a industry newspaper or news or a big tablet paper or a magazine type. It's like a big magazine that goes out to radio stations, and it's just a big, you know, they got all the ads for all the big talk show hosts and everything in there. And we'd have a display ad in there. It said Freedom's Phoenix top producers tool, be at least as informed as your audience. And the point that we were making is that these talk show hosts, if they didn't open up to their audience, sending them stuff and everything, they had a very limited scope on what the heck was going on, certainly philosophically. So I'm going, all right, so let's open it up. And I'm, you know, always yelling at the lamestream media, the media so last century, that they don't even know what the people know. They just, they're part of the propaganda. Right. So I'm going to give you this opportunity to tell, one, how you knew about the show. Two, have you listened to it more than once? Three, why did you call us? Four, what your issues are. So let's start off with the first one. How'd you even know about us?
I actually saw you on the InfoWars YouTube video and decided to check into you because I had spoken to another radio show that I found here, but I got talked over. I didn't get to, you know, really get my question answered. And it kind of just left me thinking, you know, who are these people representing these radio shows who don't even know the full story themselves? So I wanted to talk with you because I did listen to the show a couple times, and you're very knowledgeable. I'm going to assume that you've been in Arizona for quite a long time.
Early 70s.
All right. So the lady that you were talking about on Saturday is kind of like me. I'm very Asian as well. The only problem is, you know, there's a lot of stigma to that, and, you know, there's segregation as well.
Not for me, man. I think that is a beautiful combination.
It is. It is. You know, I'm the same age as her, and I did play kickball in Florida. I actually know the guys who created the organization. And
of what? What are you talking about?
Kickball.
Oh, okay.
Waka.
Well, so you're familiar with the story that she did, what she was talking about?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, let's get to, you call me, you say, man, they need to know, and somebody heard him, maybe he needs to know, he doesn't know enough, let's talk about what he knows. So I'm going, what's the issue, the issues that got you going?
Okay, the issue that got me going was I went to my doctor, I was having pains, I had chronic pain, I know what works for me, I know it's not pills, but I broke down in his office, and he prescribed Paxil to me. I, you know, didn't know enough about Paxil. I took it for a month.
Well, neither do I. What's Paxil? I hear about it, but I have no idea. I can't remember all the disclaimers.
Right. Never, never, never take it. Never, never. Not if you're schizophrenic. It's such a damaging drug. They had to pay out $3 billion for bribing doctors and mislabeling the medication.
Well, what is it for? They gave it to you because what?
Antidepressant, supposedly. But I'm not a depressing, you know, I'm not a depressed person.
So why did they prescribe it to you? What was the reason?
He said, because I broke down crying. I mean, I had a lot of stuff going on, and he doesn't see, you know, he doesn't know my life. He just sees me for a brief moment, and
he goes, this will help you stop crying.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm not going to deal with it. Here's a pill. But he did tell me, you know, have your family monitor you very closely, you know, that there were some, you know, problems with the pill, but I was having so many, you know, wanted to get rid of those feelings myself that I decided to take it for a month. And the first day, I noticed something odd. I looked in the freezer, and everything was defrosted. And then I looked hours later, and it was back to normal. But what that does to you is it splits your personality, and you don't even know part of what you're saying some of the time.
So you say, you know, the logic and reason part of the brain said, you know what, I don't need this stuff.
Yep, I knew that before, but I just was, you know, I'm distraught about my mom. I don't think I'll ever get over that she's not a real mom, you know. But anyway, I discovered afterwards how the mental ill get treated. I had CPS. I went to the hospital because I was coming off of this drug. I was having paranoid issues. I mean, it was out there, but it was the drug. So I went to the hospital because, you know, I have my son and I'm going through these issues. So they automatically say that I'm schizophrenic, possibly bipolar, and they call CPS. You know, they state that my son is clean, looks fed, you know, no problems, no neglect. But they decided to file neglect against me anyway.
Because you're taking this drug we prescribed you that made you crazy.
Yes.
All right.
So the doctor didn't, you know, back me up. He didn't do anything besides send a paper. He didn't send my history. He didn't explain what I've been going through for these past years that I was visiting with him. You know, I was with him for 3 years. I was just waiting for the marijuana law to pass so that I could take that instead of these pills. Because Paxil wasn't the only thing I tried. You know, they had me on other things. I went to neurologist after neurologist.
Okay, so you went down a cascade of pharmaceuticals, messed you up, and you kind of, you know, this isn't the solution, so what is?
Right. But I knew that I, you know, I'm not crazy. I'm not depressed. I don't need a pill. But it took a year after to be normal again. And what I mean by normal is where you don't have those skittish issues that you got while you had it. But I did find out later that it causes you to have fractures easier. So I have broken quite a bit of things in these past 2-3 years.
Okay, so we get it. Drugs are bad. Now, what's good? What's the solution? What are you advocating? I mean,
I'm advocating,
you don't have to convince me that drugs are bad, okay?
Right, but the most of our population in our community are on drugs. They are alcoholics. They don't even know what is right in front of their faces and what is about to happen to them. Let's go over the police state. Being a military brat, you see a lot of things. We have war games. We had so much stuff. And I don't feel like I'm the average military person because of some of the things that happened. For instance, seeding the hurricane for Andrew. But, you know, a lot of people won't believe that that is possible. I have a lot of negativity towards what I've learned, what I knew before, but it didn't make sense. The puzzle was put together.
Well, you got to help me out. You got to make sense. I mean, you got like 30 seconds to make sense in this next segment. So, right. I mean, your main concern and the reason you called is you wanted to share with me in the audience what?
All of the towers that have been up or going up, I mean, they are doing a lot of activity.
What? What are you talking about?
On these towers, these cell phone towers.
Okay, so electromagnetic radiation, you're concerned about that as an issue.
I'm concerned about the ELS.
You're going to get one more segment to impress me, okay?
Okay. All right.
I mean, you better skip to the end. I don't care about your childhood.
Okay.
I don't care about all the other stuff. Don't care about, you know, I mean, CPS is of interest, but I mean, you know, none of this stuff. I don't care. I need to find out what you want to share with the audience that's going to be a benefit to them. I'll give you an audience.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I don't want to be a hypocrite. You know, I want to make sure I give you guys a lot of good guests. And every now and then, if you have a listener they want to get and share and do and kind of, you let them. But I tell you, you know, keep in mind, this is exactly why it is so important to be able to skip to the end. Because when you do get the attention or the, you know, time and FaceTime in front of a reporter or someone that has the opportunity, you know, how do you intrigue them? What do you say? What is it they want to know more? What happens when they're trying to, you know, get more information out of you? They are interested. They start thinking how they can say yes as opposed to how do I get this person off of me at a party? I'm no hell no. You know, I walk away a lot. I'm getting, you know, kind of in and make my point, and I got somewhere else I got to go talk to someone, kind of let them think about it a little bit instead of getting in there, piling up their sandbags, getting in their defensive position. So this is, you know, a lesson, and we want to, you know, Catherine, we can help her and kind of use it as an example for you. Skip to the end. What is it you want to share, Catherine? Go.
Okay, there is no global warming. These towers are going to be used at these camps, which are supposed to be opening next month. As long as there's no activity from anyone, then we're not going to get anything done. But these towers, the chemtrails, the fibers, the fibromyalgia, all of this stuff ties in with each other. These towers are going to be used to mind control us. And people don't think that it's possible. Oh, I'm going to fight. I'm going to have my gun. I'm going to do this. But you don't understand what that can do.
Okay, now where's your evidence come from? And it's not that I haven't heard this before. It's not
right.
I make it very simple for the audience. Now think about this. When they do and they go, are they using electromagnetic waves to be able to control the mood or how you think, or certain people susceptible, do they can put voices in your head, can they, you know, yada 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 yada, can they? That's all I need to know.
Can they
if they can, then they are. So
right, they are.
I'm going, okay, what's your evidence that they are?
Okay, I don't know how many people watch TV, but that is one of the main emitters of these things they're trying to send over brainwashing things so that you don't realize your subconscious isn't, you know, it's too fast. But being on a base, you see other things. You do see the activity of these kind of things prior to it being released to the public.
Such as?
I'm sorry. I'm really nervous because my father is still active, and it's hard to discuss it when I want to give the facts. But with these towers, they do release low frequencies that do cause cancer, leukemia, other things. You know, fibromyalgia, Margellans was not a thing years ago. They just created it after, I don't know when they put these fibers into the sky or our clothes or wherever they are coming from. But these fibers have imprints on them from a lab. After time, you can't see the words anymore because there's so many fibers that have grown. They can grow in the skin, out of the skin.
My understanding is it came from GMO-altered food, yes, and your body produced it.
I think all three of those are, the, you know, definitely food, definitely food.
So this is, you're kind of became aware of certain things. You started doing research, or yes, you are personally affected, or that was your motivation to check? I mean, you right. know, what's going on?
I'm definitely affected. I did not live here my whole life. I did luckily live in Florida, but there's things going on there as well. But when I came here, I got sick. My son started having nosebleeds and other things, which are proof that you're being irradiated. I am losing my hair. I still have quite a bit, thank goodness, but it is not as full as it used to be, and I have pictures to prove that along the years.
So this is your personal health was the motivation for you to start checking on this kind of stuff.
Yes, because I want to know what's wrong. Like, my son is, you know, ADHD, hyperactive. He's being affected by these frequencies. He's affected at school.
Is he on medication?
He's with the state now, so they're forcing him to be on medication, yes.
See, this is, you know, you're representative of an example of the second you start challenging, you know, and I'm not sure if you're your own worst enemy or is just by...
I know too much. They know that I know too much.
Well, I've had this, many people in your situation before. They start asking questions, they start challenging, here, have this prescription. And I'm wondering if, you know, taking some of these drugs has a permanent effect on your personality.
I think so. I really do. I don't think that Paxil was able to grip onto it like that, but the stuff that my son is on, yes. That is what Adam Lanza was on, supposedly. That is what the guy in Tucson was on. So, I mean, it's a system. I mean, there is a system going on, and these kids are the ones that are the guinea pigs. Let's see what happens. And they already know, testing from these pills, what happens. Boys are getting breast, diabetes. I mean, there's so many issues.
So what is your plan? I mean, to be able to, you know, satisfy, I don't know if it's not your curiosity, your desire to do good, your desire to show. I mean, why would you even call me? What is the purpose? You should know about this because why? I mean, what's your goal? Is it some personal, make you feel better, part of your therapy, or is there some end action you're hoping to accomplish? What is it?
Yes, it's definitely therapy, and the action that I want is for people to see that it's not a crazy person's thing. It is real. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's real. If you will step back away from the TV, do not listen to the radio except for talk shows that will talk about important things. We don't talk about stars. We don't talk about the things that are unimportant. People need to see what this is like before, in a couple weeks, because even in Tucson, I don't know if you've heard about it, but Davis Monthan is in charge of Tucson now. So it's only in due time that Phoenix is the same.
Davis Monthan is an air base in Tucson, yes, that has the boneyards, all these old planes and so on. They got, I guess they could resurrect some of them. They get them for spare parts, but there's museums and such down there. But it's an air base, and that's where they have the A-10 Warthog is heavily, you know, used there, and a lot of training and so on. So to say that Davis Monthan's going to be in charge of and whatever wouldn't surprise me, because, you know, it's always going to be some base day law. We got airplanes. So this is, I wanted to give, you got another couple of minutes, you know, I'm going to give you the end of the segment, but I just want you to kind of, you know, if you had a message, now you lost your son to the state. Now that happened because they said what? You're unfit because you took Paxil? What?
Actually, no. I was in an abusive relationship, and my son started reacting. You know, he saw too much trauma. And I...
How old is he?
He's 8.
8? Damn.
Yes. So I needed their help. I just had surgery to remove the plate out of my shoulder. Excuse me. And my son was having behavioral issues, you know, because of all this stuff. And I called because I knew they were going to get the report. I knew it was going to be an issue. And
you called, you know, called who? You called CPS?
I called the caseworker who was already on the
case. So there's your first problem right there.
I know that, but for me, for my surgery to open, the doctor had told me 2 weeks prior, I could die. I could lose my arm. Those are serious things.
So you bring in the state, and what happened?
Well, the state was going to be notified anyway, so... the state said it was going to be 72 hours. Now it's 7 months later. They knew what I was going through. They added to my stress. They made me do more things than required. And I just want people to know that that is what is going to happen. I mean, they want children. It's not a game. It is not a game. It is money for them. It is money for them. That's it. You know, and so families are being severed. I mean, it's purposely.
You know, we went through this. A friend of ours, her two teenage sons got in a fight and they took one, saying, oh, you should have protected one from the other one, beating them up or whatever. And it's just, you know, teenage boys being teenage boys. But because she refused to sign any of the papers that gave them the ability to charge and make money off of the government, they didn't want them anymore. She refused. I'm not signing anything. You do what you want, but I am not signing. There was no money in it. They let them go.
You're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Okay, point made. You know, this is, and she was very upset. I wouldn't let her go into the next segment. You know, this is, you know, because, you know, you take this risk, and I'm willing to do it because, you know, this is where I find out a lot. I talk to a lot of people. That's why, you know, I got the Bluetooth. If it wasn't for this, I wouldn't be able to do anything because I'm constantly getting called and I'm not being able. I just turned off the ringer the last couple of days because I couldn't find my Bluetooth. And I'm just, you know, I need both hands to do all the stuff that I'm doing. Fortunately, I'm able with the Bluetooth to answer my phone and, you know, have some fun. But, you know, one thing that I noticed, and it just dawned on me this weekend, you know, talking about electromagnetic radiation, your phone and this and that and whatever and so on. And when I work out and I do stretching and even just sit-ups, my left hip kind of pops. Everything else is okay. My left hip, and I'm going, God, why is my left? I go, hell, that's where I keep my cell phone all the time. Does that have something to do with it? Probably. So, you know, we'll put it over here. I'll just use the Bluetooth and it, because it doesn't put out much radiation. And I'm going, yeah, well, maybe it does. I don't know. We should find out. So I don't have a problem in having, I talk to a lot of people, but that conversation, imagine that times a lot. I get a lot of calls, a lot of emails, a lot of, you know, people want to express themselves. I will let them. When they come around and they want to do whatever and they actually are willing to put forth them effort to make signs, to print something, to what? I don't even look at it. I don't care. I'm like, la, 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 la. I don't care. You're doing the job. You're doing the work. You want to learn a skill and how to express yourself? Knock yourself out, man. I'm all over it. I think you should do that. And by me not taking a side on this stuff, I take the side of people being able to express themselves. And if they can't do it through some other medium and the help of us, well, you know, there's a lot of technology out there. Hell, just hold a sign. I've known people that have done that. They every Sunday, they're out in front of, you know, their favorite church or something, you know, passing out stuff and you need to know and whatever and makes them feel better, and that's therapy. So I don't have a problem with that. It's just how we do it. I mean, what did we learn? We get into where she was seeing a doctor for a few years. She got prescribed, you know, the psychotic, Dayla, whatever the heck. CPS has her child. You know, she's, I mean, it goes on and on and on. I mean, not all great cases for whatever it is that she wanted to have said, but that doesn't mean she's wrong. I've known a lot of guys that they go, man, there is voices in my head. And they're going, no, I can tell that I'm susceptible to whatever frequency. I mean, it's like they're having a conversation. So are they crazy? Maybe. You know, in other respects, I didn't think they were. They're just trying to give me, they go, look, man, I'm telling you. You know, they're intelligent enough that from their perspective, they're going, I think they're tapping in. Now, what's the question? Can they? Can they change a mood? I tell you, it was a sci-fi story I was thinking of one time. I go, if I cared, I'd write this. I, you know, encourage other people to write it. And it came to me when there was a young man, he's like 28 years old or something, in India that came up with five chemicals that in various combinations can create any smell. And that technology, think about it. When you have a cathode ray tube, you know, the television, it's only three colors. Those three colors create all the colors on a TV screen. I don't know how LCD and those others work, but, you know, three primary colors or four. It's a black, white, magenta, green, and, you know, whatever the heck, yellow, who cares? The combination of these colors, when you put a drop of water on a screen, you can see in the pixels, certainly on a cathode ray tube, that, you know, I don't know if they make those, you know, anybody knows where one is anymore, but you do that, you can see the pixel colors. That's what gives you the color. So for smelling, it was the same thing. You know, it's just, you know, five basic chemicals in various different combinations can produce any smell for the human nose. Really. Now you have television at certain hertz where it vibrates in with your mind that it's susceptible to yada yada, who cares? And my point was, I'm going, think about it. Future television not only be with 3D, all right? You have the surround sound and so on. You know, what happens when they add smell? And that's coming. There'll be another track. And you'll have this chemical thing on top of your television. It'll be spewing out scents, you know, just like your Airwick, De La, whatever. And you're in the middle of the battle of, you know, guts and intestines blown up all over the screen from, you know, Braveheart sword slashing or the mist of the sea. You're out in the ship doing what you see my point. It would really enhance the experience of watching a movie. But what happens when they get the right combination of sound, sight, smell? Oh, my goodness, you get into a printed-on 3D, I'm Batman, go down the pole, I come out in a suit that, you know, gives me tactile sensation. You're starring in your own computer-generated porn movie. You see my point? When they do this, and all of a sudden, you know, Hillary Clinton's running for president, and all of a sudden I'm feeling, oh, warm and fine. You know, she is kind of attractive. You know what she said rings a bell. You know, I'm feeling all warm and fuzzy about that. You know, are you being drug induced? This scents have more of an impact on your brain while they're trying to convince you a day law. What I mean, you see, so what's the question? Can they? Then they are. You know, can they do? I don't know. But all I got to do is ask the question, can they? Well, if they can, what you think they, oh, we wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. So there's nothing too conspiratorial for me, you know, but what's the solution? I don't waste my time in getting into the details of every one of these things other than the solution is eating right. The solution is, you know, advocating freedom to your neighbor, non-initiation of force. It's always the same solution. More freedom, better life. So I open myself to this, and I encourage other, and it's a big criticism I have of the lamestream media, the media so last century, is that they don't learn enough about it. It's not necessarily the messenger, but what's the message? You know, what is it that's affecting? Are they more easily affected? Are they canaries in the coal mine? Did one round of prescription or one exposure to some vaccine, one thing did what? And then, of course, now you got all these kids on all these drugs. And what we found out with our friend Renee, when they took her son, CPS took him because he got in a fight with his brother and a parent. He went over his friends. He got black eye and the CPS, and boom, they take him. Oh, you want to see? You got to sign this. You want to do? You got to do this. They said, you can't see your son until you sign it. She goes, I'm not signing anything. Then they let him go. Why? Because by you signing the paper qualified them to get all kinds of different grant money from different levels of government. And if your child becomes a burden financially to them, they don't want them anymore. A lot of people don't know this. Renee did. She goes, no, I'm not playing your game. I know. Every time I sign something, you're getting big chunks of money and you're threatening whether I can see, you know, my child in order to sign. I'm not playing. Besides a little snot 16-year-old getting a fight with his brother, you know, the lesson they'll learn, little snot. So finally, it's got, you know, he was over Sunday. You know, his other brother moved out, got a job, and kind of, you know, so things are cool. But I'm telling you, you know, this is, I opened it up. But I'm always focused on what's the solution. After the show, we're going to have the biogeneration of diesel from algae. And those guys are coming by. We're going to integrate it into the Aqua Dome. And I want you to see, I mean, we're, you know, kind of far along on this. We're ready to go to start now. The coverings I got to do, and we got to integrate this second dome in with this one. I'm having fun with that because there's no plans for that. You just got to, you know, bring out all your goodies and make it happen. And this is going to be the solution for, even though we'll help the people, their Monsanto protest, I'm going to speak in at various different functions. I'll be up at Pork Fest. I'm going to Libertopia. I'm going to Freedom Fest up here in Arizona. They're doing, is that this weekend or the following week? No, it's in June. That's in June. It's right before I go to Pork Fest. And then, so we're doing a lot of, you know, the Monsanto thing. I'm just helping them. I don't care. You know, whatever. Peace out. You know, pass out some stuff. And Alma is really working on the social network, and we're getting that set up so that I can start posting all this stuff, you know, for the Pinterest and the Instagram and the videos, and Drew's supposed to be coming up, and we'll get that in when I go out for the breaks between the shows. I hit the fourth channel on the switcher, you know, and I go, boom, we're out doing the dome, you know? So this is going to be our answer to everything. Can we be healthy? Can we continue to breathe in and out and maintain our minds and clarity of thought and logic and reason and sharing with everybody what we learn? That is going to be the salvation of humanity, is that we maintain our humanity. I'm, you know, we're going to be this week, we're going to be talking about Adam Kokesh and what he's doing. Glad we got to talk to Cody Wilson in the first hour. We're still getting some more, you know, behind the scenes stuff on Adam. We'll get you all up to speed tomorrow. But I'm telling you, of all the problems, what is the one thing we can do? Love your neighbor.